Hello and welcome back once again to A Place to Grow. Every weekday, Pastor Stephen R. Hill of Spirit Life Church in Hurst, Texas has a life-changing message that will help you to determine God's destiny for your life. This program will help you to identify and use the gifts that God has given you. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Today's message is from the new Summer Revelation series. This is part 4 of The Unveiling. Now here's Pastor Steve.
One basic key to understand the book of Revelation is to recognize that it's divided into 3 parts. This is the only book in the Bible where the divisions are actually drawn by Jesus Christ himself. Revelation chapter 1 and 19, Jesus said to John, "Listen, write the things which you have seen and the things which are and the things which will take place after." Now, as we walk through the book of Revelation together, to really understand what Jesus was saying and why he said it, we must begin with the historical background. And I kind of touched on it before. I need to get more involved in that at this time, because we need to understand what were Christians experiencing who lived during this time when the book was written. Well, the historical background of the book of Revelation takes place in the first century AD. It was the beginning of the great persecution against the church. In Acts chapter 8 and 1, it states a great wave of persecution began, sweeping over the church in Jerusalem, and all the believers except the apostles were scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. But the believers who were scattered preached the gospel about Jesus Christ wherever they went. In the book of Revelation, you will clearly see the spiritual warfare between God and Satan. In fact, you will see the climax of that warfare. We are a part of that warfare today. That's where we talk about spiritual warfare. The Bible says you're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. Oh, no. You're fighting against principalities and powers. You are fighting against evil spirits. We have enemies that we can't see. Nevertheless, they do exist. I want to show you in the book of Revelation a very graphic war that was actually is going to take place in Revelation chapter 12 and 7, it's a spiritual war. It says, "Then there was war in heaven. Michael, the archangel, and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels. And the dragon lost the battle. And he and his angels were forced out of heaven. That great dragon, the ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, the one deceiving the whole world, was thrown down to the earth with all of his angels." Now, folks, the devil hates God. He hates Jesus. He hates the church. From the beginning of Christianity, Satan tried to destroy the church. And it's important to realize that even as we study these seven churches, in the beginning of the book of Revelation, you're going to see some of the same strategies that he inflicted upon the early church that he's using against us today. And the first one I'm going to mention is persecution here. Persecution. Persecution is still happening in the church today. Let me make you aware of something that you may not be aware of. A survey from the Esther Project stated roughly 1,093,000 Christians were martyred worldwide between the year 2000 and 2010. Here's another survey. Christian nonprofit Open Doors released its annual 2025 persecution report, which estimated that over 380 million Christians across the world face high levels of religious persecution. Religious persecution has not ended. It still exists in the world today. Now, during the early church, the devil inspired such demonic hatred in the Roman Empire against Christians. He thought that he would win. He thought that he could wipe them all out. But what he found out was the more martyrs that Christianity had, the greater the growth was. Only God can do that. In one report, it says it is generally agreed that Christians, having started with just a few dozen followers of Jesus in 30 AD, proceeded to make up 10% of the Roman Empire by 300 AD. That's about 6 million people. And that by 350 AD, that figure was 30 million Christians. In fact, as it continued, there were more Christians in the Roman Empire. Christianity became the majority. So what the devil thought he was putting an end to, it just became greater and greater in Christ. But let's talk about persecution, because the first reason for the persecution against the Christians was emperor worship. Julius Caesar was officially recognized as a god by the Roman state. And in 29 BC, Roman emperors worshiped. In fact, they became the object of worship. It officially passed in all of Rome. So Christians refused to worship the Caesars as God. Well, because the Bible warned you're not to do that. In Exodus chapter 20 and 3, God said you must not worship any other god. Do you see the dilemma for Christians? You give your testimony about Jesus Christ, and the next thing they want to know is, will you worship Caesar? No. Arrested and killed. God said, you must not have any other God before me. You must not bow to them. You must not worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. I will not tolerate your affection with any other gods. So history tells us, as a result, the Roman emperors and the Senate persecuted Christians savagely. Let me give you some examples. They were blamed for every problem in Rome. Fox's Book of Martyrs states that Christians were whipped, they were disemboweled, they were torn apart. Plates of hot irons were laid upon their flesh. They were strangled to death. They were eaten by wild animals. They were hung to death. They were tossed on the horns of bulls and animals. Their bodies were piled in heaps and left to rot without a burial. Many Christians thought that Nero was the Antichrist because of his cruelty and all of his abominations. Both the Apostle Peter and the Apostle Paul were martyred by Nero. Most scholars believe that Timothy, Paul's spiritual son, died sometime about 65 to 70 AD in Ephesus, and as a result of that, the Apostle John took over his pastoral work in Ephesus, and he was also responsible for the churches in the surrounding areas. And guess what the name of those churches was? It was the seven churches of Asia, the very ones that Jesus would tell him to write his message to. The Roman emperor, Titus Flavius Domitian, reigned during that time, and he demanded once again, worship me as God. And John said, no way, I only serve the God of heaven. Well, Domitian sent John to the Isle of Patmos, a Roman penal colony. And John labored in the rock quarries with the criminals and the slaves of the empire. Now, he would have been well advanced in age. In fact, the book of Revelation was written by the Apostle John, possibly 95 AD. Tradition says he only lived to be 100. Only lived to be 100. He was the only apostle that was not martyred. But it was a great time of persecution when Jesus spoke with the last living apostle, John, and charged him to relay a message to the church. This is what Jesus, in effect, said. He says, I'm coming again. Every eye will see me. I am coming to judge those who rejected my word and those who are persecuting you. Now, folks, I understand many times people avoid the book of Revelation because of the symbolism. They say it's hard to understand. And Revelation is filled with symbolism. And the symbolism is generally taken from other prophecies and visions found in the Bible. Sometimes they are symbolic, and the interpretation is right in the text. We're about to read that right now. Jesus showed himself to John in his present glorified appearance as a judge. I want to read a scripture in Psalm, though, that talks about Jesus being a judge. In Psalm 96 and 13, it says, For he is coming to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his truth. Now, I want you to listen to John, how he describes his meeting with Jesus Christ, his first meeting with him in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 12. He said, I turned around to see who was speaking to me, and I saw seven golden lampstands, and standing in the middle of the lampstands was someone like the Son of God. He was wearing a long robe with a gold sash across his chest. His hair and his head, they were as white as wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like flames of fire that flashed like lightning. His feet were like polished bronze, like a mixture of gold and silver refined in a furnace, and his voice thundered like a mighty ocean waves. He held seven stars in his right hand, and a sharp two-edged sword came from his mouth, and his face was like the sun in all of its brilliance. Did you know that light actually has a force? It can be an overwhelming force that actually pushes you or propels you back. In Maxwell's equations, it tells us that light exerts physical pressure on objects. That's what happened to John when he saw the Lord Jesus in the brilliance of his light. He fell back and he fell on the ground.
Thank you for joining us for today's message. Here's Pastor Steve with an invitation to this Sunday's very special service.
Hi, this is Pastor Steve. Thanks for listening to the program today. I want to personally invite you to our Sunday worship service. It's a special service called Family and Friends. I'd like to meet you and shake your hand and pray for you personally. You know, your coming is the only way that I know that you're listening. I want to thank you for your prayers and your support of this ministry. God is touching lives, and people are being blessed because of you.
Come join us this Sunday for a special day of worship and fellowship on our Family and Friends Day. You'll make some new friends, enjoy some excellent live music with our praise and worship team, and Pastor Hill would like to meet you personally. That's this Sunday for our Family and Friends Day. We look forward to seeing you there. Spirit Life Church is located at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst, Texas. You can find out more about the many ministries at Spirit Life Church and other upcoming special events by going to our website, aplacetogrow.org. Now let's get back into today's message.
The Bible says in verse 17, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But then he laid his hand on me and he said, don't be afraid. I'm the first and the last. I am the living one. I died, but look, I'm alive forever, and I hold the keys of death and hell. Now, that same symbolism that we may not have understood, Jesus explains it in verse 18. Listen to what he says. This is the meaning of the mystery of the seven stars you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels, pastors, or messengers of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. So we don't have to be afraid about the symbolism in Revelation, because in most cases, God is going to tell us exactly what it means. Amen? And this is an example of that. Let me just begin with chapter 2, and we'll pick up with where we leave off next time. In chapter 2, Jesus gave John a message to convey to the churches. I believe that we can receive personal insight for our lives as we examine what was said. And that's why it's in the Bible for us to read it. These seven churches, they comprise seven methods of attack by Satan on the church or individual Christians today. We're about to read about Ephesus. You can call Ephesus the backsliding church. In Revelation chapter 2 and 1, it says, write this letter to the angel of a church in Ephesus. This is the message from the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands. And you understand now what that actually means, the symbolism. Listen to what Jesus says. I know all the things that you do. I have seen your hard work and your patient endurance. I know you don't tolerate evil people. You have examined the claims of those who say they are apostles but are not. And you've discovered that they are liars. You have patiently suffered for me without quitting. But I have this complaint against you. Listen to what he says. You don't love me as you did at first. Jesus, in his message, he began with Ephesus because that was the closest city to Patmos. In fact, Ephesus was a great commercial center. It was called the supreme metropolis of Asia. It was a place where one of the seven wonders of the world were the Temple of Diana. The problem with this church was they were working for the Lord, but they forgot about spending time with him. What a timely message. The Lord said, I saw you did this. I saw you did this. I saw you did this, but you forgot me. You didn't spend time with me. Christ is more concerned about what we do with him than what we do for him. Because labor is not a substitute for love. To the public, the Ephesian church was successful, but to Christ, they had fallen. This is what Jesus said to them. This is how he counseled them. Remember where you came from, repent, and repeat the way it was before. Folks, if we get back to our first love with Christ, then God will accept us. If the church does not get its heart back in the right condition, Jesus said, I will remove you. And you know what? That's exactly what happened to the church in Ephesus. The Lord removed them. That whole church just went away. Why? Because they never got it right. The church is influenced by Satan today to place our families, our relationships, our occupations above Christ. We have no time for him. Or a little time. Or a convenient time. So you're going to see as we study the different churches that the same tactics, the same strategies that the devil used against the churches during Christ's time is the same strategies he uses against us today. Let me ask you a question. Do you put your relationship with Jesus Christ, the time you give him, the finances you give him, more or less than you do your family members? Do you have more time for your relationships than you have for God and his church? Is your occupation more important than your time and your giving to God. Because if it is, I have a message from Jesus Christ for you found in Luke chapter 14 and 26. He says, if you want to be my disciple, you must hate everyone else by comparison. Your father, your mother, your wife, your husband, your children, your brothers, your sisters, yes, even your own life. Otherwise, you can't be my disciple. And if you're not willing to carry your own cross and follow me, you can't be my disciple. You know, today we think about crosses as those little necklaces, and a lot of people wear those around their neck. That's not what Jesus was talking about. He was talking about a cross, the kind of cross that you were crucified on. They literally had to carry their cross to the place of execution and get up on that cross. Jesus was saying, if you're not willing to put me and the Father before every other relationship, even your own life, you can't be my disciple. And then he said in verse 28, and don't begin until you count the cost. Following Jesus Christ is going to cost you something, folks. And you know something? Honestly, I may not be talking directly to you, but a lot of people who profess Christianity, they have not counted the cost. Because Christ is not first. God is not first in their lives. The church is not first in their lives. But their family is. Their relationships are. Their occupations. And they conveniently put God wherever they can fit him. That is not the gospel. And the reason why I took all of his time to talk about the persecution of the church, you need to really understand how serious this is. These people gave their lives. What are you giving? What are you giving to prove that you're a Christian? What have you given? What are you giving now to prove? We've made Christianity so easy. Say this prayer. You know what Jesus said? Give your life. Give your life. Carry your cross. Get up on that hill. Let them nail your hands and your feet. That's how I know you're a believer. We try to conveniently find a place for our Christianity. But my friend, don't be deceived. If you're not willing to carry your own cross and follow me to that place of death. Death to your own desires. Death to your relationships. Death to anything that you would dare put before me. You cannot be my disciple. This was the environment of the book of Revelation. And this is what God wants you to know today. This word has not changed.
Thank you for being with us today for A Place to Grow. If you were moved by today's message, you can download a copy for free by going to our website, aplacetogrow.org, and click on Audio Messages. Our new website makes listening and downloading faster and more simple than ever. And if you would like to help keep this radio ministry alive, you can make a gift offering right there online. That's aplacetogrow.org. Today's message was part 4 from the Revelation series called The Unveiling. Now Pastor Steve wants to pray with you.
Heavenly Father, we come to you today in the name of your Son Jesus. Father, you know each of us individually. You know our needs. Father, you have asked us to come to you with all of our fears and all of our concerns. Father, there are many listening under the sound of my voice right now. Lord, they're uncertain about their lives and the things that are pressing up against them. I'm praying now that you would make a way, that you would step in. We're praying for divine intervention. Father, we know that it comes through your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, in any area of our lives, we give you permission right now to make a change. Save us. Deliver us from ourselves. Help us, oh God. Give us the strength to serve you, to obey you. Lord, we surrender our lives to you. And so we wait on you, but we wait in faith. We know that you've heard this prayer. We know that change is coming, and we believe this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Well, we hope you were touched by today's message. We are honored to have you with us and look forward to seeing you at our Spirit-filled worship service every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. At Spirit Life Church, we strive to create a welcoming and safe space for everyone to experience God's presence. Stay connected with us throughout the week by visiting our Spirit Life Church International YouTube channel and Facebook page, where you'll find uplifting messages and lots more. Spirit Life Church is located at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst, Texas. For more details, head to our website at aplacetogrow.org. And don't forget to join us every weekday at 4 p.m. and on Sunday afternoons at 2:30 right here on Bible School Radio, 91.3 KDKR.